So, you want to hear about what turns 30 this year? Are you ready for this? Now, Dan, you looked at this list. Did you feel old at all when you saw this?
You know, for some of them I did, some of them I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm in that range. So, okay. Some of it's like, oh, yeah.
Okay. How about the first one? Let's see this. This might freak some people out. Although, I will say this. They've been in the public eye long enough where it's not that shocking.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Kind of seen them grown up.
Yeah. And it's turning 30 this year are Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. They turned 30 this year. Now, Esmeralda, did you watch The House That Was Full?
Yeah, I didn't think they were that young. or not that young. I thought they were even younger.
Oh, wait a minute. You thought they were younger than 30?
Yeah, because I'm only 32.
Okay.
That's only 2 years.
So you're only 2 years older than the Olsen twins.
Yeah.
So when the Full Housing started,
I was a...
You were two.
Yikes.
You were older than two. They were like two. So you were like four.
Probably five.
Well, I mean, they weren't...
They were babies right at first.
Well, I mean, they were like, you know, two or three.
But nobody watched it then.
Right.
Wait a minute. I thought everybody watched it all the time, the house that was...
Well, clearly I wasn't.
Too full.
I was five.
Wasn't the... Now, we've talked about how these people should have been reported to the authorities, right? I've often talked about this. Because you got the creepy dude living in the basement who's not even related to these people.
He's a friend.
I don't care.
Family friend.
What's his name? I know it's Coulier. What's his name?
Uncle Joey.
Now, they called him Uncle Joey, but he wasn't an uncle.
Correct.
Yeah, but...
See, that's wrong. Some dude named Uncle Joey living in the basement.
There's a lot of people like
that. And then Stamos is upstairs having sex with Lori Loughlin.
I think they got like a garage apartment at one point.
Did
they? Started, yeah.
Well, then the house isn't that full if they're living in the garage.
It's not like they lived solely in the garage.
And then there went now, and it was just and Saget.
Saget,
right? And then the two kids, twins.
No.
Three.
Yeah.
Oh wait. Okay.
DJ Stephanie and.
Oh wait a minute. Hold on. There was only one kid. The twins played him, right?
Yes. Correct.
Oh, all right. Well, okay. As you can tell, I am not a big connoisseur of The House That Was Full.
Kimmy Gibbler was always there, too.
Right. Who?
She didn't live there. But
who?
The next-door neighbor, Kimmy Gibbler.
What is it with next-door neighbors on these shows always being there? You know what blew my mind that I discovered over the years? That, what's that, Urkel was not, he didn't live in that house.
No, he was the neighbor.
See, here's...
They'd always make him and be like, leave, Steve.
All right, here's the thing about that. All right, and I've said this before on the air. Why don't they just not open the door when the idiot's knocking?
No, he just comes in.
Lock it.
She did too, I think.
It's like Uncle Joey. How do you kick Uncle Joey out of the house?
Well,
you don't kick Urkel out of the house.
Well, but Uncle Joey lives there.
But still,
right? Doesn't Uncle Joey, he lives in the basement. He's all creepy. Why don't you, hey kids, come down to the basement and say hi to Uncle Joey.
Cut it out.
I've got some candy down here. All right, so wait a minute. So there were three kids?
Yes.
Okay, right. The kid that the twins played, the Olsen twins, who, by the way, turned 30 this year. If that makes you feel old, 312-981-7200. All right, so you got that. Who was the next kid?
Stephanie.
She was the middle child.
Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Now, do we know who the actress was? Was she anybody?
Jodie Sweetin.
Yes.
Okay.
She had some drug problems.
Yeah, she had some issues.
Oh, she did that thing.
She's good.
She was the child star who did the blow and all that stuff, and now she's fine.
Right.
Yes. All right, and who's the third one?
DJ Tanner.
Oh, no, I mean, he didn't live there.
She didn't leave.
She didn't live there.
She did leave there. She was.
Oh, she did.
She's the tween.
All right, now who's she? Actress.
Cameron something?
Yeah.
What's her first name? Candace Cameron. She's related to the, what's his face?
Kirk Cameron.
There you go.
Correct.
Ooh.
And married to Pavel Bure, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. And then the neighbor kid. Who's the neighbor kid?
That was Kimmy Gibbler.
Kimmy Gidler?
Gibbler.
Gibbler. Now, that was her character's name.
Yes.
Who was she, actress-wise? Do we know?
Oh, who knows?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Andrea Barber.
Oh, sure.
See? No one, because that's all she's done.
So, okay. All right. Well, I still, you know, like, this is what I picture is, like, Saget, you know, should have those children taken away from him because he's got, like, Stamos and Lori Loughlin up in the basement or up in the attic going at it. Then you got a creepy uncle living who's not related living in the basement going, I've got candy. And then just Saget running around.
Oh, and then John Stamos, kids.
They had kids?
Yeah.
Okay.
They had twins.
Oh, boy.
They had proper twins. He wasn't just
as opposed to the Olsons, who are not proper twins.
Well, no, because they were just one kid playing.
I see.
Or two kids playing one kid. This was twins. On the show.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Just to clarify.
They were born, by the way, on June 13th, 1986. The Olsen twins played Michelle Tanner on the TV show Full House starting in 1987. They were just 9 months old. They continued to act together through the mid-2000s, and they're now fashion designers.
Well, I will say they were weirdos when they were going to college and all that, and then they've kind of mellowed out. Like, they're not as...
Well, they were weird. When I just remember, like, the tabloid stuff in the mid and early 2000s. Where
now
they've
calmed
down. What's going on? I just remember they wore sunglasses that were bigger than them.
Yes. And now one of them is married to a man who just looks like her dad.
That's
good. Because she's so little and tiny.
Well, she's 30. She'll be 30 in June.
Yeah, but he's I don't even
like
think he's
my
that
age?
Much older. No, actually, he's probably in his 40s, maybe 50. But because she's so young-looking, it just looks odd and very short.
Do they eat now? Because I remember looking at pictures where it's like, have a sandwich and lay down. Have a big bowl of pasta Alfredo and lay down for a little while. Don't exercise.
Not much.
Okay.
Mary-Kate married Pierre Oliver Sarkozy, half-brother of Nicolas Sarkozy, former president of France.
Yeah.
He's 46 years old.
Oh, okay. Which is not so crazy, but when you look at them together, it's like,
right. What?
He's 16 years older than she is. Okay. All right. How about this? The Oprah Winfrey Show turned 30. Well, it's not on anymore, but it was launched 30 years ago. And have you heard that the Harpo Studios are going to be gone?
They took the sign down.
Yeah,
what are they going to do now with that? I mean, well, just obviously, restaurant. Because they need another restaurant there. Well, Oprah started in 86. Now, her national show started in 86, but she started on... when did she start on television? Because she hosted AM Chicago. So she had a local morning show here for a while before the Oprah Winfrey Show. And I want to say that started like in the early 80s.
83.
Okay. Now, other notable 1986 launches... TV launches. Are you ready for this? These shows were all launched. They would have been 30 years ago. Perfect Strangers with Balky.
Bartakamus.
Yeah. Hey, Esmeralda, you watched Master of None.
Yes.
Okay. Which, by the way, if you've not binge watched Master of None, it's pretty great.
So good.
Aziz Ansari and my future ex-wife, Noelle Wells. Do you remember in the episode where they offer him the new version of Perfect Strangers?
Oh, right.
And he's going to be the Balky.
He's mad about it, yeah.
So Perfect Strangers, Designing Women. Now, I don't remember. I remember, wasn't Delta Burke on Designing Women, right? And the Machen Amick who passed, not Machen Amick. Machen Amick was on Twin Peaks. What was the dude's name who got cut in half in Damien Omen 2? Of course, that's what I refer to.
Wasn't he in Mannequin?
Yes, Mannequin.
We mentioned Mannequin the other day. Yes, yeah. Misach Taylor.
Okay. Misach Taylor, he passed away. I remember he passed away at a young age. But I always, he's always going to be the guy that gets cut in half by an elevator cable in Damien Omen 2.
In Designing Women, he was able to cut people in half with the sassy phrases.
Was able to cut people in half with his saucy wit. If you've never seen it, I'm sure you could probably just see that quality kill on YouTube, Esmeralda. You should check it out.
On Designing Women?
No, not Designing Women. On Damien Omen 2. He gets cut in half by an elevator cable in the Field Museum, by the way.
Oh, boy, I'm good.
Come on, it's awesome.
I can imagine it.
It's awesome. It's the dude from Designing Women getting chopped in half by a cable that busts through an elevator. And it happens in the Field Museum. All right, Double Dare started in 1986. Really? That started in 86? Yeah, I guess that makes sense because when I was visiting my friends who went to school in Champaign, we would get drunk and come back and watch that. And that was about 87-ish.
And it was on Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right.
Was it with what's-his-face?
Mark Summers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. We used to watch that all the time. That and Batman reruns. People would get drunk and watch Batman. Oh, and Lancelot Link. All right, we got a break. Esmeralda, are you aware of Lancelot Link?
I'm assuming it's one of those cartoons.
Oh,
like
no.
What's their faces?
Do me a favor. I'm gonna do some commercials here. All right. A break. I want you to just look up Lancelot Link, okay? And maybe look up just a clip from Lancelot Link and watch it while I do the commercials. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the genius of Lancelot Link. Okay. Let's do that.
Lancelot Link, secret gem.
Yeah. Right now, anybody around the age of 50 is completely freaking out right now hearing that. Lancelot Link, well, we're talking about, by the way, we're talking about things that make you feel older. I'm Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Welcome back on a Wednesday. No, what is it? Thursday. Thursday morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. What makes you feel old? We're talking about 30 things that turn 30. So far, Mary-Kate and Ashley. Ashley. That's their triplet. That's their third sister.
It's the one that lives in the attic.
That's right.
Is that the one Godzilla chased?
Yeah, that's right. Oprah Winfrey Show was launched 30 years ago. Perfect Strangers, Designing Women, Double Dare. And then that got us talking about Lancelot Link. Now, Esmeralda, you'd never seen Lancelot Link before.
No.
It looks pretty special, doesn't it?
My mind has been blown.
It is unbelievable. For people that don't know what it is a heap, it's a show with real chimpanzees who are put in costumes, and they play different characters. He's like a secret agent. Lancelot Link is like a secret agent. And they have voices, like they have people provide the voices for the monkeys. I do want to say this. Our old friend Jeff Kulik is K-U-L-I-K, Jeff Kulik. He is responsible for a film called Heavy Metal Parking Lot. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Heavy Metal Parking Lot? Have you ever heard of Heavy Metal Parking Lot?
I was told vaguely about it.
It is spectacular. He made Heavy Metal Parking Lot, which is just basically going around interviewing a bunch of people in the 80s in the parking lot of a Judas Priest concert. And it is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Anyway, he made a documentary about the people that made Lancelot Link. Jeff Kulik made a documentary, and I think it's called I Created or I Made Lancelot Link. And it's a really wonderful documentary. And the people who came up with the idea seem normal. They don't seem to be, you know, I don't think that they were on weed. But I can tell you this, 90% of the people who watched Lancelot Link had been blowing weed. There's no question about it. So Lancelot Link. I'm assuming, Esmeralda, you're going to be doing a little more Lancelot Link viewing in your free time.
I just watched like a not even 10 seconds of it, and I was already hooked.
Yeah. It's pretty special.
The song alone. Like, I was watching the intro. Mm-hmm. I just want to take screenshots of the intro because those look really awesome with Lancelot in his little hat.
Oh, yeah. Mata Hari is my favorite.
Yeah, no, like, I want to put those in my house.
Okay. Well, there's a lot more to it than that. It gets a lot more complicated. The genius of Lancelot Link. Okay, we'll take a quick break, and if you want to jump in at anything, we're talking about 30 things that turned 30 in 2016, when you felt old, and, of course, Lancelot Link. Right here on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Hi. Nick DiGilio here. I'm your overnight dude. Weekday mornings. 2 to 5 a.m. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. Steve Grzanich is going to be joining you for the opening bell coming up at 5. And he'll join us briefly for a biz and weather update right before his show at 5. We have a Blackhawks Express to play from an exciting game from last night, and we will play that back as well. But right now we're talking about 30 things that turned 30 this year in 2016, and that is getting us also on the topic that we would love to hear from you via phone call or text, 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open and text lines are open. When was the first time you felt old? And when, give us some stories about times that you have felt old. 312-981-7200. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen turned 30 this year. The Oprah Winfrey Show started 30 years ago. So did Perfect Strangers, Designing Women, and Double Dare. And, of course, Elf. Elf.
Hey, well, I want to eat a cat. Where's the cat? I'm hot. I want to eat a cat.
That's my Elf. It's pretty good, huh? Doesn't it sound? It sounds exactly like Elf.
I want a cat sandwich.
She reminded me, I got to go get my Elf stuffed doll from my parents' house.
Oh, you have an Elf stuffed doll.
Yeah, remember I ordered it off of eBay.
That's right. Now, does he talk? Can you pull a string?
No.
And he goes, where's my cat sandwich?
I wish.
I want a cat souffle.
Doesn't that sound exactly like Elf?
Yeah.
Can't you tell that I watched Elf every week when it was on? You know, it was really funny. Oh, God, this is hilarious. Dan, you're going to, you guys. So after all that jazz on Tuesday night, now for my film club, I introduce the movie beforehand. We talk a little bit. Then afterwards, we talk, we do a little film talk after watching the movie. And so after all that jazz, I was like, oh, some people show up in all that jazz that make brief appearances. And I said, so you guys recognize John Lithgow? Because John Lithgow is in all that jazz. And people were like, yes, there's John Lithgow. But anyway, you know, and I'm like, Wallace Shawn is in all that jazz. For people who don't know who Wallace Shawn is, he's the guy in Princess Bride who goes, inconceivable, that guy. He was on Gossip Girl. Of course, I go straight to Gossip Girl. Because I'm a 14-year-old girl, I immediately go, that's the guy from Gossip Girl. Not My Dinner with Andre or some of the other amazing movies he's done. I go right to Gossip Girl. All right? So I go, oh, and there were other, and I was trying to think of some, because there were a couple of other, you know, people in all that jazz that had smaller roles that you would recognize. And I was trying to think, and it's a guy in the audience goes, the father from Elf. And in fact, the father from Elf was in it. He played the movie producer who screams at Roy Scheider because, you know, he's in the movie. His character is directing a Broadway play and also editing a film at the same time. And the movie's gone over budget. And he's the producer. Alf's dad is the producer who comes in. He's not Alf's dad. He's not Alf's dad, is he? He's just the dad that Alf, hey, I'm going to live in your garage and eat your cats. So Alf's dad is in it. And he plays the producer who comes in and starts screaming at Roy Scheider about how he's gone over budget and he can't keep editing it and blah, blah, blah. So I bust out laughing because I'm at the screening. I'm like, there's somebody else. The guy in the audience goes, yeah, the dad from Elf. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. The dad from Elf is in it. Elf, 30 years old. Did you watch Elf when you were a kid, Esmeralda?
Well, clearly.
Well, you're buying an Elf doll.
Right. And I had pajamas.
You had Elf pajamas?
Yeah.
Did they have footsies?
No, it was just like a dress shirt, but it said, ain't I cute? And it had Elf on it.
Was that a catchphrase of his?
Maybe.
Ain't I cute? Where's the cat? I want to eat the cat.
That's the only thing I know about Alf is that he ate cats and he wanted to eat the cat. That's the only thing that I know.
Ain't I cute while I eat your cat?
All right, so Alf turned 30. Matlock. Matlock! As Abe Simpson would say. L.A. Law debuted 30 years ago. But most importantly, debuting 30 years ago was Pee-wee's Playhouse, one of the greatest television shows in the history of mankind. We used to, my friends and I, remember VHS tapes? My friends and I used to tape it every Saturday morning. And then every, you know, we would tape it, and then every Saturday night we would watch it. We would watch it and just watch it over and over and watch the episode over and over and over again. 30 years ago, Pee-wee's Playhouse. All right, you want to feel old? We got more things that turn 30. And I want to hear about you feeling old. I got a bunch of texts coming in, 312-981-7200. Here's Eric on WGN. Hey, Eric.
Good morning. I'm 52, and I recently got into watching Hill Street Blues.
Ooh.
And I felt old the other day when I realized a lot of the older cops on the show are 10 years younger than me now.
Or they would have, yeah, they're characters, you mean.
They're characters, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like the one SWAT officer, I don't know how familiar you are with the show, but they had the one SWAT officer, mm-hmm. and then they had the Hispanic officer, and I was just thinking, wow, these guys are kind of old. These are the older cops. And then there were a couple of scenes where they're talking to the captain. They said, oh, you know, I'm 42 years old. And I'm like, 42?
Yeah, I know, man. I know. It.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, Eric. Where are they showing Hill Street Blues? Are you just watching them online or something?
I was watching them on, I think it's H&I, which is a couple of channels up from MeTV.
Oh, okay.
They've got the reruns from Hill Street.
Oh, okay, because I'd like to go back and watch Hill Street. I haven't watched that show in years.
Yeah, it's a great show.
It is.
But that really hit me hard.
And
I realized there's only one cure for that, is going out and get a 30-year-old girlfriend.
Hello! All right, Eric. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Wait.
All right.
All right, Eric. Thanks, man.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Look at Eric, man. I had to go out and get a 30-year-old girlfriend because I watched Hill Street Blues one night. One of my favorite films of last year, number 20 on my top 20 list, a terrific movie called 99 Homes. In that movie, God, Laura Dern plays Andrew Garfield's mother. Like, you know, one of my favorite TV shows from last year was Scream Queens, where my teenage crush played the old dean of students. And she also, by the way, my teenage crush who played the old dean of students, now does commercials for yogurt that makes you poop. So that'll make you feel old right there. All right. Glenn has some information about Lancelot Link. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right,
man. A couple
man.
Things. First thing is Lancelot Link was hot and popular the exact same time that orangutans were headlining at the Stardust in Las Vegas. That gives you an idea where the mindset of the people of that age group was at, because you would pay top dollar to have a prime rib dinner and then go watch orangutans from any which way but loose doing flip-off tricks at the Stardust.
That's fantastic. We live in a fantastic country, Glenn.
We sure do. And then the one other thing that you just brought it up, Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
You know when I felt old, really, really old?
Yeah.
When Pee-wee showed up on the blacklist with a whole new face and a paste-over hair job.
Yeah.
And he's a bad guy on the blacklist. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, you know Pee-wee Herman, I think Pee-wee Herman is 60. I think Pee-wee Herman
right.
is, I think he's like in his early 60s, if I'm not mistaken. He still looks like he's 14, but wow.
Well, him and Joan Rivers had the same plastic surgery.
All right, Glenn, thank you.
Sure enough.
Hey, Dan, isn't Paul Rubens now a villain on Gotham? Didn't he just join the cast of Gotham?
He plays Penguin's father.
Cool. That's good cast. Now, you watch Gotham, right?
I haven't watched this season.
Okay.
Yeah. Carol Kane is his mother. She's fantastic in the first season.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then Paul Rubens is the father.
That's perfect, man. That's perfect. We're talking with Feinberg
tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right? We'll talk with Dan Feinberg about TV tomorrow. I'll have to bring that up. And also, we got to bring up Making a Murderer. Good God. Esmeralda, have you started watching Making a Murderer yet on Netflix?
No, I have not started watching.
Oh, my God. All right, here's the thing. I stopped because my plan is tomorrow, when I get off work tomorrow morning, I'm going to watch all of it.
Is it going to make me sad?
It's going to make you go nuts, from what I understand.
Because I might not want to watch it then. I mean, if I can't deal with The Wire.
Yeah, you can't deal with The Wire, and this is real. This is like a documentary. You have a hard time dealing with the. You couldn't make it past the first episode of The Wire.
Yeah, but it's because it's based in reality, like too
no,
much.
No, well, I, that's yeah, The Wire. Of course, again, I every time somebody mentions The Wire, I do have to say that it's the greatest television show in the history of the medium. And it's, you know, I'm Captain Hyperbole, but that is fact.
Right.
The Wire is the greatest television show of all time.
Okay.
But yeah, this Making a Murderer, man. Oh man, and people are obsessed with it. This is a phenomenon. We'll talk with Feinberg about it tomorrow. We're going to talk TV tomorrow with Dan Feinberg. All right, listen, we got a break here. We got weather and we got traffic. When we come back, I've got a ton of texts here from people who are feeling old. We'll talk more about 30 things that turned 30 in 2016 and more Lancelot Link. 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio on your overnights. I'm glad to be back, and we're going to have a great year right here on WGN. Morning, everybody. Hi, Nick DiGilio here. Overnight dude here. 2 to 5, right before the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. That'll be coming up after 5 o'clock. And then my main man, Mr. Steve Cochran Show, starts at 6 a.m. Make sure you tune in to that, because Steve rules, and he's back. I've been filling in for him for the last couple of days, and he's back. 312-981-7200 is the phone number and the text number. We're talking about things that make you feel old, and we're starting with 30 things that turned 30 in 2016. How about this? The Challenger disaster is 30 years old, and I remember where I was when that happened. I was working at the Jewels, and I was in the generic aisle. And I was stocking at the generic aisle when the manager came up from the basement and said the Challenger blew up. And we all kind of stopped for a second, and we ran down to the basement where they had a TV in the break room, and we watched it. It was unbelievable, unbelievable. January 28th, 1986, 30 years ago.
Esmeralda, do you remember that happening while you were at school?
No, I was.
She was two.
Yeah, I was too young.
She was two.
Yeah. I remember I was in class, and they were supposed to show it, and the teacher turned it off for some reason right before it started, and so we didn't see it.
How old were you?
I'm 34 now.
So you were four.
Yeah. So, but I remember vividly, like, there was a TV in the classroom that they were going to show all of us.
Wow. And they decided not to.
Yeah, for some reason, like, I don't know if she was running late or something, but it just so happened that, like, the TV was off. And then, like, then another teacher ran in, and, like, I was hysterical. I can remember that.
Yeah. I remember we were at the Jewels. I was working. And, it was crazy. Let's see. Lady Gaga, Lindsay Lohan, and Drake were all born on March 28th. Lady Gaga was born. She turns 30. The Lohan was born on July 2nd. She turns 30 this year. Let's see. Who else? Shia LaBeouf turns 30. Megan Fox turns 30. Robert Pattinson. Leah Michele and Lena Dunham all turn 30 this year.
I'm amazed that I'm older than all these people.
Yeah. It's probably because they've been in the public eye for such a long time.
That could be it.
You know? Like the Lohan. Like that.
Right.
She, you know.
Megan Fox, too. She seems older than 30.
She does. God, I can't stand Megan Fox. Ugh. Just the worst. The Lohan, I used to, man, I'm telling you, I used to love the Lohan. When Freaky Friday. And, you know, I loved her in The Parent Trap when she was a little kid. I loved her in that. I loved her in Freaky Friday. And then when Mean Girls came out, I was like, she's just the best. Boy, what a terrible direction her career went into, man. She had more potential. She had so much potential. God. All right, 30 things that turned 30. Ferris Bueller's Day Off turns 30 this year. That's great. That's great. And I don't know, Esmeralda, have we talked about my feelings for Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
I mean, it would seem you don't like it.
I hate it.
Oh, jeez.
I hate every frame of that movie. In my opinion, second worst movie ever made in the history of cinema. Second worst movie ever made. The worst being Natural Born Killers.
Is it because he gets away with everything?
Well, it's because he's a little bastard. He's a little spoiled, rotten North Shore bastard who needs
I can see that.
Needs his teeth kicked in. He's the most despicable character in film history. I think he's a more despicable character than Ralph Fiennes in Schindler's List. I can't stand this. I cannot stand Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Turns 30. All right, how about this? Doug says, I felt old when I was listening to classic rock and I heard Smells Like Teen Spirit. What the heck? Yeah, welcome to my world, Doug. Classic rock. I grew up on classic. You know, when I grew up, it was just called rock. I just want to make sure that that's known. It was just called rock when I grew up. Jimmy the Bread Guy says, my kid turns 30 this year, so that makes me feel old. Jimmy the Bread Guy, is he related to Panarin? Who had a big night last night and a big night the night before. What's going on? 4 goals, 2 games for the Bread Man. I have a friend who's not happy with that nickname. He, like, texted me during the game. He's like, this is not a good nickname. It is not grown on me. And it's not like he's lactose intolerant or not lactose intolerant. It's not like he's not lactose intolerant. Gluten. Like, it's not like he doesn't like glue. He can't have gluten. He just doesn't like the name. Yeah, I don't think a hockey player should be called the Bread Man. Okay. But the rat is okay. Dave Bolin, the rat. That's fine. Steve the Limo Drive, the 30th anniversary of the Bears Super Bowl championship. That makes me feel old. Yeah, that's right. That's coming up in a couple of weeks, right? Because they had the 30th anniversary a few months ago, a couple of months back, because they recorded the Super Bowl Shuffle when they were like 4 games into the season. Didn't they? Wasn't it some ridiculous? Dan, wasn't it ridiculous? It was like they won like 4 straight and they were like, we're going to the Super Bowl.
After they had lost to the Dolphins like the day or two before as well.
That's when they recorded it?
I believe that's the
Oh, I thought it was before the loss to the Dolphins. Because how many? Well, wait a minute. How many? Was the Dolphins early in the season?
Let's see here.
I don't remember.
It was released 3 months prior to their win in Super Bowl 30.
So it would have...
Or 20, I'm sorry.
It would have been... So 3 months would have been... It would have been October. That's like right at the beginning of the season. Man, that is really ballsy, man. You know what I mean? That really is. We're going to record the Super Bowl Shuffle. We're 2 games in. You know, I mean, that's insane. 847 area code says, I'm a denture technician and working at my job since high school. I felt old the day I noticed that doing dentures for a woman who was a hot cheerleader in high school. Oh, boy. Oh, brother. My friend used to say that he started feeling old when he noticed that he began to be consistently older than the centerfolds in Playboy. That's when he was like, oh, man. Steve in Downers Grove says, I was approved for a loan at my bank, and upon being told of the approval, I celebrated by going to Sizzler, doing that line from White Men Can't Jump. We're going to Sizzler, which is one of my favorite lines ever. My banker responded to, what is that? And I said, it's a line from White Men Can't Jump, to which he replied, oh, that's a movie? I've never heard of it. I'm only 25. That's probably why. Then she had no idea who Sizzler was or who Spike Lee was or what Sizzler was a restaurant or who Spike. Well, Spike Lee didn't have anything to do with White Men Can't Jump. But where are there Sizzlers anymore, Dan? Anywhere in the world?
I think the last time we talked about this very thing, I think we found that there's like a couple, like 3 or 4 in the South.
Could we go into Sizzler?
I was watching TV. I was watching a Anthony Bourdain thing, and he went to a Sizzler.
He did.
In L.A.
Oh, man.
So maybe that one's still around.
They got to get Sizzlers here in Chicago so that I can justifiably go, going to Sizzler.
There are Sizzlers in Florida, along the West Coast, Idaho, Arizona, Utah.
That's not fair, man. We need a Sizzler here. We used to have Sizzlers.
Puerto Rico. Oh. Nice.
We going to Sizzler. We going to Sizzler. Well, I like Kadeem Hardinson. I like that guy. I think he's fun. What was his name on that Different World?
Dwayne Wayne.
Dwayne Wayne with the flip glasses. Going Sizzler. Here's Dan on WGN. Hey, Dan.
Yes.
Yes.
Just thought I'd let you know that you're talking about Lancelot Link. I have Lancelot Link's album.
You have the Lancelot Link album?
Yes, sir.
What's on it?
Excuse me?
What's on the album?
Oh, what's on it?
Yes.
Well, off the top of my head, I can't remember the hits on it. It's been a while since I've even had it out.
So is it Lancelot Link singing? Is that the...
It has Lancelot Link and his band on the cover, and it's the Evolution Revolution album.
We have to find that on eBay right now. Here we go. Okay, how do you feel if you're like the actual band on that album? Like you're the real guys who played the music and sang and maybe wrote the stuff, and you're being fronted by a bunch of chimps. Like there's a dude, like a chimp playing drums, and like the real drummer must watch that and go, "What did I do wrong in my life?" You know, these guys want to be real musicians, and they record an album, and the guys go, "Yeah, it's a great album. We're going to have a bunch of monkeys play the music." All right, we've got a break for the news. We'll come back. 30 things. Dan, thank you for the call. 30 things that turned 30 in 2016 on WGN.
Lancelot Link and the Evolution Revolution.
Lancelot Link, man. They know how to rock.
So right now, the thing singing is a chimp.
Is a chimp.
Technically.
Yeah.
Or supposed to be.
We're supposed to believe that
he's singing.
A chimp is singing.
Okay.
And a bunch of chimps are playing, you know, guitar and keyboards, bass and drums and stuff.
I really hope that the band that they found to do this did other things. Because can you imagine trying to, like, pick up chicks?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I play guitar. What have you done? Lancelot Link.
Yeah, man, I'm in the Evolution Revolution. Ooh, the Evolution Revolution. What's that? That's a band. Can you tell me a little more? It's just the Evolution Revolution. Really? Who's the lead singer? I'd rather not say. Come on, tell me. All right, it's Lancelot Link. The monkey?
It's a chimp.
Yeah, man. I'm with the Evolution Revolution, baby. Where have you guys played? Linkin Park Zoo. A couple times. See, that's when you could do a half an hour of programming of just a bunch of chimps running around in costumes with bad voiceover. And I highly recommend, I bet it's streaming online. Jeff Kulik's documentary. Dan, it's got to be streaming online, right? It's Kulik is his name. He's the guy who's done a ton of really great documentaries and a lot of really fun movies. Of course, the one that everybody remembers the most is the Heavy Metal Parking Lot. By the way, it's Nick DiGilio. I didn't identify myself. It's Nick DiGilio on WGN. We're doing overnights here. And we're talking about things that make you feel old. We've got a list of 30 things that turned 30 this year. And we've gone down some of those, and we'll talk a little bit more about what makes you feel old. Let's see. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
All right, man.
Yeah. You know, you probably don't have to feel sorry for those musicians. They're probably some very highly paid Hollywood studio musicians who provided the music there.
Yeah, that's probably true. But it's like they're probably like, I mean, obviously they're unsung heroes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
These are session guys who clearly played on like 8 million. They probably played.
Exactly.
I keep thinking it's like the Wrecking Crew, you know?
Like, I was about to say Carole King and that whole bunch of.
Well, I mean, if you look at the guys who wrote the songs for the Monkees, and I don't mean the animals, the Monkees,
yeah,
I mean the band,
mean.
the band, the Monkees. I mean, they got some amazing musicians and songwriters for those guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Nick, I'm 63, and I can't remember what year, but I remember seeing a young kid by the name of Larry Fishburne and Cornbread Earl and me in the early 70s.
Yeah.
And watching him as a grandfather on Blackish now, I just feel ancient.
You know what else is really funny, Mike, that you bring up Lawrence Fishburne? Because we were talking a little bit earlier about Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Cowboy Curtis.
He played Cowboy Curtis.
I was mentioning that earlier today. Yeah.
He played Cowboy Curtis on that. Yeah. I remember seeing Cornbread Earl and Me, but the first time that I remember Lawrence Fishburne was when he was Larry Fishburne, was obviously Apocalypse Now. That was the time when I really remember him in that.
Yeah, that was like 5 years after Cornbread Earl.
Isn't that crazy, man? Crazy. All right, Mike. Thanks, man.
Take care.
All right, see ya. 312-981-7200. When did you feel old? We got 30 things to turn 30. How about this? This is a big one, especially for this city. And you guys are too young to remember, Dan and Esmeralda, just what a big deal this was, the hype behind this. Geraldo opening Al Capone's vault. This was a mad. Now, Esmeralda, you know the story, right?
Yeah.
They hyped the crap out of this. It was in April of 1986. The mystery of Al Capone's vault. And it was a 3-hour primetime syndicated special. And I remember, man, my friends and I, we got together and we watched it and nothing happened. It was April 21st, 1986. Geraldo Rivera hosted the mystery of Al Capone's vaults, in which he and a team of experts opened vaults purportedly owned by Al Capone, finding basically nothing but trash. The much-hyped special was a serious letdown, and it created a cultural touchstone, a shared joke for Oprah hyping a mystery. Today, Rivera actually lets you watch the whole show for free on his website. Oh, yeah. I'm sure a lot of people spend 3 hours watching that.
What did they touch on in these 3 hours?
Oh, well, they did like a whole bunch of like, yeah, what it could be, like the history of Al Capone and gangsterism in Chicago, and what could be in the vault, and blah, blah, blah. And they interviewed all these experts and historians. And then they would go back to the digging, because they were digging at the time. They were busting through the wall of the vault live. And then they would go to these pre-taped packages of, like, the history of Al Capone and crime in Chicago. And then they would come back, and Geraldo would be there with his safety goggles on and his headset.
I mean, you got to think about it.
We're getting close. Yeah, go ahead.
Geraldo wasn't the only one. He had to convince the TV station to be like, hey, let's do this. So they believed him.
Yeah.
So he wasn't the only one drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, it wasn't just, you know, but at that time, you also have to understand at that time, Esmeralda, he was, at that time, the biggest, he was the Jerry Springer of that time. His show, his daytime talk show, with white supremacists and chairs being busted over people's faces and stuff. That was the Jerry Springer of that time, and his show was huge.
I know, but then they thought, let's believe him.
I don't think anybody believed him. Well, because he was a ratings grabber. And you know, to be sure, that show, that Al Capone show, everybody watched it. I mean, it wasn't a disappointment in terms of revenue and ratings. I mean, the outcome was a disappointment, and he became a national joke after that. But people watched. So I guess it was a success in that regard. But I would say, Esmeralda, go back and watch all 3 hours of it. It's fascinating television.
I've watched it for the Capone stuff. Is that good?
No.
Do you remember?
It's
no?
Terrible. I remember the whole thing. We were all just sitting there going, what the hell's going on?
Is it reenactments?
Just bust open. Yeah, they had reenactments. They had historical footage. But here's the thing. You're a Chicagoan. You know all that crap already about Capone.
I know, but it's fun to see when they do reenactments and they're really bad.
Now, Esmeralda, you know all the stories about about how many actors who have starred in America's Most Wanted reenactments have been arrested?
No, what?
Oh, you don't know this?
I didn't know there was a correlation.
Well, no, the correlation is that they get busted because people see them on the street and think they're the real criminals.
Oh, I see. Oh, wrongly arrested.
And there's, yeah, no, wrongly arrested. But like if you get, that was always like a curse. It was like if you're a working actor and you get, yeah, I got an America's Most Wanted. They're like, no, don't do it. They're like, no, but the pay is good. No, you're going to end up in jail because it happens so many times. like actors, the actors who played the suspects in the reenactments on America's Most Wanted be walking down the street and suddenly the cops would bust out, throw them up against the wall, cuff them, and throw them in jail. And then he'd be like, they'd have to be like, no, I'm not the actual guy. I'm the actor portraying the guy on the reenactments of America's Most Wanted. It happened like all the time. I don't know what the stat is, but there was a really sort of ridiculous amount of working actors who would get busted because there were eyewitnesses who, there were witnesses who thought that they were the guys that were on the night before on TV. Oh, man. All right. 847 area code says, I started to feel old when I had to Google words I hear people saying because I had no clue what they were talking about. For example, throwing shade, bay, and other nonsense. What is throwing shade? I know what bay is.
It's you're
being catty.
There you go.
What's the
insults?
What's
they're catty, like sassy.
Okay,
insults.
What's the origin of that?
It's more in the gay community, drag queens and such.
Throwing shade?
Yes, because they're always being catty towards each other.
But what does that have to do with shade being thrown? I don't understand.
Like, I guess darkness? I don't know.
Oh, throwing shade.
Yes.
Man, I'm trying to sit in the sun and you're throwing shade at me, man.
No one says... No one says it like that, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I don't understand these things.
Also drinking the tea.
What?
Yes, drinking the tea, which is just telling the truth, I think.
All right. I'm so glad you guys are a part of the show.
Yeah, no, have you seen the Kermit? Like,
yeah, he's drinking a Lipton.
Oh, yeah.
Which I would like to see the... Like, where'd that come from? He's just drinking Lipton tea.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't get it.
Well, that's what it means, like the truth. He's telling the
drinking
truth.
Tea is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing shade means you're a bummer.
Yes, according to businessinsider.com, to throw shade simply means you said something shady to someone.
businessinsider.com.
That's really terrifying.
Those businessmen need to know how to throw shade.
Right. Hey, Larry, you want to go throw shade on Wall Street?
More like they'd be drinking some tea.
I'd rather drink some tea. Larry, you go throw your shade while I drink the tea, bay. All right.
Then do you know what a bay is?
It's Dan. Didn't we discuss Dan was my bay? We discussed that, didn't we?
No. Nothing from
we talked about it on the air,
just,
Dan.
Sorry, I know. I just I got reclumped. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's cute to hear.
Yeah.
That Dan is your bay.
I don't, yeah.
Right. It just, you know.
Well, we discussed me not knowing what a bay was a few months back.
Right.
That was, you know. Yeah. Well, I think the show has gotten a lot hipper, though, in that.
Our Q rating went up the charts.
That's
so
right,
cool.
Man.
There's tweens.
That's right. Everybody who listens to this show now is drinking tea and not throwing shade. They're a bunch of bays. All right, we got a break for weather and traffic here. What made you feel old? We got more 30 things that turned 30 this year. Yes. 30 things that turned 30 this year. Now, Madonna doesn't turn 30 this year. Absolutely. Not. Nick DeGilio here on WGN. Madonna's True Blue turned 30 this year. Turns 30 this year. Madonna, by the way, another one of my future ex-wives. I love Madonna. Ugh. Madonna's album True Blue debuted June 30th, 1986. Had Live to Tell, Papa Don't Preach, Too Blue, Open Your Heart, La Isla Bonita, which we just heard. Also, we've got Office Depail. Depot turned 30. Hey, you know, we were just talking, Esmeralda, we were just talking about how actors were getting busted for being ID'd as real killers from America's
yes.
Most Wanted.
Mm-hmm.
The Fox Broadcasting Company turns 30 this year.
Good for them.
Its first show was The Late Show with Joan Rivers. And then they had Tracy Ullman, 21 Jump Street, and Married with Children. Those were their first big set of shows. Fox Network 30. All right, let's see. Here's Carrie on WGN. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Morning.
First of all, everything makes me feel old. I'm only 47, but everything makes me feel old. A friend of mine called me last night and said, do you want to play tennis on Saturday? And I'm already starting to stretch so I don't kill myself. So everything makes me feel old.
I understand.
But, yeah, Lancelot Link really – I thought only my wife and me knew about Lancelot Link.
Oh, no.
It turns out that, man, there's a weird culture about it. after – so, first of all, it was a weird cast. Bernie Capel did voices for the villains. I know he was the Baron.
Yeah, Bernie Capel did voice work for Lancelot Link. For people who don't know, Bernie Capel played the doctor on the Love Boat.
Yeah, right. So that was weird. But then, so after your last caller, or one of the previous callers who talked about the album that he had, I went on eBay, and actually I just bought my wife a T-shirt because she's going to love it. it's weird. There's hundreds and hundreds of Lancelot Link stuff on there.
Oh, I'm not surprised for some reason.
But the weirdest thing is there's like a worldwide – apparently it was a worldwide sensation because I saw a Danish 45 record with some kind of music. There was a Lebanese comic book.
A Lebanese comic book?
Yeah. Lebanese edition. Yeah, you just go to eBay and search Lancelot Link, and there was a Lebanese comic book. It was like, really?
That's amazing.
Wow. I was shocked. I figured I'd see like nothing, but there's hundreds and hundreds of things, and like I said, a Lebanese. I don't understand it. But
it's crazy. Well, at least you got your wife a T-shirt out of the deal.
That's right. She'll be very happy.
Is it a Lancelot Link T-shirt?
Yeah. Well, they had several. There was a Evolution Revolution band one, and then there was just a Secret Chimp one with his face and some weird like. CIA type stuff on it, so I got that one. $19.
That's not bad. That's awesome. All right, Carrie. Yeah. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Nick.
Take care. Feeling old. All right. Lancelot Link. See, that was entertainment for us. This was the kind of stuff that we were supposed to watch when we were kids. If it wasn't that, it was like H.R. Puff and stuff and Lidsville. You know, the Sid and Marty Krofft stuff. So, let's see. Do you remember who did the voice of Lance's co-spy? She was so annoying, but it was great when she screeched her lines. I don't remember who. Dan, do they have credits on who provided the voices for Lancelot Link?
Let me see if I can.
Like, if you look it up on IMDb, Lancelot Link. Because I know Bernie Capel was, like, the bad guy.
Main listings are Dayton Allen and Joan Gerber.
Oh, I think those were names that you saw a lot in animation and voiceover work at that time in the 60s. Yeah. Lancelot Link. See, Esmeralda, that was normal television when I was growing up. That was just like, there was nothing unusual about it. It was like, oh, I'm going to watch this show and it's getting
You marked. Mean amazing television.
Well, Now, have you ever gone back? Now you are now having the wonderful discovery of the insanity and the beauty and the genius of Lancelot Link. Have you ever gone back and watched any of the Sid and Marty Krofft stuff?
Not really. I remember watching some sort of history of on them, and I thought they were really cool.
Yeah.
But I haven't really sat down to watch an
you
episode.
You should watch like some H.R. Puff and stuff sometime. Just sit down and watch like an episode of it.
Right. But that stuff looked great. I mean, I didn't really. Dan, I'm sure you watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yep.
And those puppets.
Yeah, this is just, I don't know.
But those are pretty messed up.
Yeah, this though is, there's clearly.
You guys did have some messed up stuff.
Clearly, like H.R. Puff and stuff and all of those, like Sigmund and the Sea Monster.
Right.
That was just weird stuff.
Even the Chicago stuff. Who was the guy
BJ and the Dirty Dragon. And Blob. Roar.
It's like, all right.
That's Blob, man.
Run out of stuff to think of?
Just no.
A blob of clay. Okay.
That's right. Get a blob of clay.
The aforementioned Joan Gerber was the voice of Freddy the Flute on H.R. Puff and Stuff in addition to being
That's what
on
I'm saying, man. Link. Everybody blew weed and said, hey, man, I'll do a voice on your show. I'll be a flute. I'm going to be a talking flute on one show. I'm a talking flute on the other show. I'm a chimpanzee spy. I mean, it's not a coincidence that Sid and Marty Krofft had a show called Lidsville. That's not a, I don't think that's any kind of a coincidence. Is it? Now, Esmeralda, you're too young to remember a measurement of pot that used to be called a lid. Did you know
yes.
that?
Yes. Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
You could buy a lid. Like, hey, man, I'm going to go get a lid. And a lid would last you, it's supposed to last you the whole weekend. Hey, we discussed this before. What did they say that was a lid? A lid was like, it was like 8 ounces of weed, if I remember correctly. Look at, right? A lid was a lot of weed. Because I remember, like, you know, when I was growing up and the guys who blew weed in my neighborhood were like, yeah, man, I got a lid. And they're like, ooh, a lid. You're going to be busy all weekend, man. But the Woodersons that I knew would blow through a lid in two nights, you know, a night.
That's the professionals.
Yeah. Those were the Woodersons. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it was 8 ounces. I think a lid was 8 ounces. Nobody says lid anymore. But they say, hey, man, let's go get a lid. So, yeah, not a shocker that Sid and Marty Krofft would have a show called Lidsville. That's just with with Charles Nelson Reilly. Hey, here's another we got a break here for news, Esmeralda. Look up Lidsville and just, like, do a Google image thing and just go Google Charles Nelson Reilly Lidsville. Charles Nelson Reilly Lidsville. That's the main character.
What?
That's the main character.
What?
Yes.
What is he? the person?
It all makes sense if you've blown 16 pounds of weed. It all makes sense. All right, we got a break and we'll come back. What makes you feel old and some more things that turn 30 this year to make you feel old. And the news is next. God. 30 years old. Good God. 30 years old. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude. We're talking about 30 things that turned 30 in 2016. And Slippery Huenhuet turns 30. You know, I've talked about this on the air before. I don't understand. And Dan's already laughing. Dan, you know where I'm going with this.
I do.
I have no idea when Bon Jovi became critically acclaimed and, like, revered. I wasn't in a meeting. I was not in the meeting when this was decided that suddenly Bon Jovi was revered and acclaimed. Because 30 years ago, that was a damn joke. What we just listened to was a joke. It was a joke. They were an example of a horrible hair band who absolutely and thoroughly sucked. And that was the perception that most human beings had when Bon Jovi was ever brought up. They were a joke. And I want to say it was about 10 years ago where suddenly, yeah, man, Bon Jovi's releasing their 13th album. And they're the elder statesmen of fantastic rock and roll, and they're genius. All of a sudden, like, the even publications like Rolling Stone and Spin, who would openly mock these idiots, were suddenly going, these guys are an incredible, important American band. When did they go from obvious, horrible, joke, hair band idiots to revered as a great American band? When did that happen? And what the hell is wrong? What? This is one of the eternal mysteries of music for me. Honestly, I do not understand it. They suck. Bon Jovi sucks. They suck. Slippery When Wet is a terrible, it's crap. It's terrible. And even among, like, because I, you know, I grew up listening to rock, which is now classic rock. And anybody who would listen to Zeppelin when I was growing up, and suddenly Bon Jovi would come out, you'd be like, well, this is just crap. And then, like, he's getting compared, because he's from Jersey, they in the same sentence with Springsteen.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not kidding. It's gotten to the point now where people go, yeah, man, Jersey, Jovi, Springsteen. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. Springsteen, I can understand. Because from the beginning, Springsteen was critically, you know, revered and loved. And, you know, enormously talented singer-songwriter. I'm not the biggest Springsteen fan, but I absolutely can understand why he is considered the legend that he's considered. But Bon Jovi? I remember going to see Bon Jovi open for the Scorpions. They got booed off the stage. One of the only times I've ever gone to a concert where the opening band got booed off the stage. And they were opening for the Scorpions, who are another crappy band. Although Scorpions kind of, because they, at least Scorpions kind of jam. But Jovi, they started doing Runaway. You guys remember Runaway? Ooh, she's a little runaway. You know,
yes.
That's a, daddy's blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm talking about. Dan, did you ever get into Jovi? Were you into Jovi?
That living on a prayer is a guilty pleasure. I will.
It's a guilty pleasure for a lot of people, yes. I know. But is it like classic American rock and roll? No! Come
on. I mean, you know, at some point, though, if it's 30 years old and people still love that song.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you got to be like, well, there's got to be something to that.
I like Mr. Jaws by Dickie Goodman, but I don't think that's a classic. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's, you know what?
And obviously, you know, I mean, in your group of friends, it might have been crap, but there was a lot of people who bought that album at the time.
Well,
yeah, great.
But I know, I understand there are a lot of people out there who like it. A lot of people like Transformer movies, too, but that doesn't mean they're great American cinema. You know what I mean?
What other? Jeez. I can't even think of any other songs.
Wanted, Dead or Alive, man.
Yeah, but then past that, what else?
I don't know.
What have they done?
He had that Roses song. I want to lay down on a bed of roses. I remember, remember that. That was a formative point in my youth.
Wow.
Seeing that video on MTV.
Wait. See, now when you say Roses, I think Poison, which I think is on the same level as Bon Jovi. In fact, I'd rather listen to Poison, quite frankly, than Bon Jovi.
They were prettier.
They're the same thing. But then, okay, fine. And there are a lot of people bought the Poison record, and a lot of people like that. But it's the same thing. And then years later, people who mock Poison are suddenly going, man, Jovi, man, great American band. No, they suck. They're like Poison. If you like Poison, you know, then you should like Bon Jovi because it's the same crap. Then every once in a while, it's fun to listen to crap. Baby, you're all that I
need. No idea.
Come on, man. This is crap, Dan. Come on, you know it.
Good for you.
All right, that's enough, man. Really. I don't even... Sir, same level as Poison. It's the same thing. What were the other terrible hair? Warrant. That's all the same. It's all the same crap. Now, I'm not saying that I don't enjoy a lot of that stuff. I own 3 Cinderella CDs, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
But it's the same crap as... But you don't hear people writing incredible articles about Cinderella now. Not like Cinderella is suddenly the darling of Hey, when I think California rock, you know? I think Jackson Brown and Cinderella. Those are the most important. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. Suddenly, in retrospect, suddenly Bon Jovi's good? What? They were a joke when that record came out. We laughed about it. Like, we would let, when that damn cowboy song came on, we would fall on the floor laughing at the video. I remember my friend sitting in front. We were sitting in front of the TV, and that damn video, the Wanted Dead or Alive video, came on. And he says, there's a line in it where he goes, I've seen a million faces, and I rocked them all. And my friend would go, you didn't rock my face.
I don't think they were trying to rock
you. You did not rock my face. You didn't rock my friends' faces. He would say that. He'd scream in front of the TV. But then 30 years later, apparently, he rocked everybody's face. And he's one of the greatest American songwriters and poets of the 21st century and 20th century.
I mean, I think they were only trying to rock female faces.
That's the most faces that they rocked were the female faces.
That was, I think, the problem with you guys, not female.
Yeah, but it's not. But okay, and that's fine with me. I don't care. The hair metal bands, the pop hair bands that appeal to the chicks of the 80s with the high hair, mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's fine with me. I went to see David Lee Roth twice, okay? I understand that.
He's a national treasure.
Oh, of course he's a national treasure. See, this is why you and I get along so well. But here's the thing. Like I said, like Cinderella opened up for David Lee Roth on their tour. I saw it was awesome. It was Cinderella and David Lee was awesome. But I don't see respected music journalists writing essays about Cinderella. Has anybody written, like, I'm going to do a series online about the importance of Poison in the history of music? But people are doing that about Bon Jovi. They're like, you know, they're writing essays about the importance of John Bon Jovi as a songwriter and how important their band. The band sucks. They're Poison with better hair and more chest hair. That's the difference. And there's nothing wrong with it. Fine. You want to listen to Wanted Dead or Alive, by the way. Mm-hmm. One of the most entertaining moments of my life occurred when I would go to karaoke back in the early 2000s. We would go to Carol's, which was at one time a dive, a great dive bar. Now hipsters go there, so it's ruined. I don't go to bars anymore, but still, if I did, it's ruined. We used to go there for karaoke, and there was a guy who would show up every week at karaoke. And he was one of those guys that would wear, you know, those T-shirts that have wolves on them? But
oh,
it's like
no.
The full wolf T-shirt takes up the sleeves.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy had a collection of those big wolf T-shirts with the mountains and the moon behind it.
Right.
Outstanding. And this guy, I'm not kidding you, this was 2000, 2001. Stonewashed jeans, wolf T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
The guy would come in, he'd buy by himself every week.
Of course.
He would do Wanted Dead or Alive, and he'd bring the place down. Like, we'd go nuts. First thing he did when he got up to do it was he would take the television monitor that you would look at when you go to karaoke, the television monitor, mm-hmm. where it had the lyrics, he would push the television monitor aside.
Of course.
Because he didn't need it. And he wanted to make it known that he didn't need it. He would walk up to the television monitor. It was on wheels. He would just push it aside. And we'd start cheering. Like, every week when he would do that, we'd go, yeah! Because he pushed the television monitor aside. And then he would sing Wanted Dead or Alive.
Just Wanted Dead or Alive.
In the most, yes. No. He would come up and do other stuff. But his crescendo.
This is the, okay.
No. His closer was Wanted Dead or Alive. And we would go nuts. And then, like, for the rest of the night, the guy didn't pay for a drink. Because it was the most entertaining thing I've ever seen in my life. And you know this guy lived for it, too. And there was no tongue in any cheek. This guy did it for... This guy probably wrote one of the pieces about Bon Jovi that I'm talking about. All right, sorry, man. We had more stuff to talk about.
Was
we
really,
still have
wow.
a few... I'm sorry.
I'm passionate.
I'm sorry, but it makes me crazy. Anytime, like...
Clearly.
It just came to me like a bolt of lightning... A few years ago, I was looking. I can't remember what I was looking online or something. They're like, yeah, they're touring for this, and their classic album "Slippery When Wet" and it was written as though they were good. The article was written as though Bon Jovi was a good band and an important band. They're not. But then suddenly everybody thought that, and I was like, when did I become in the minority on the fact that Bon Jovi sucks? When did that happen? When did everybody change? It was like a Twilight episode. It was like the end of a Twilight episode. I'm like, suddenly I'm in a world where Bon Jovi is considered a great and important band? Where's Rod Serling? All right.
Are you okay?
No!
Okay.
Let's end this on a better note real quick here. Paul Simon's Graceland came out in 1986. There's a great album. That's 30 years old. God. All right. Hey, did you know that Bon Jovi rules? Did you know that they're the most important American band of all time?
No, they're the worst ever.
Okay. All right, here, real quick. Here's another example that's on the same level as Bon Jovi. Also 30 years old this year.
May I just interject, the text line blew up
because
during that rant. Literally, we received like 75 text messages, evenly divided between Nick, you're absolutely correct, and Nick, you're an absolute jerk.
And I would say that the Nick, you're an absolute jerk, 90% of those are females. That would be my guess, who still have a crush on Bon Jovi. And by the way, handsome man. I'm not going to deny that. John Bon Jovi is a handsome dude. I'd date him.
Guy.
I would date John Bon Jovi.
He's a little on the feminine side, so, you know, it could be doable.
But the same year that Slippery When Wet came out, I wish we had it queued up. Dan, I should have told you this earlier. I should have told you this when we actually had time. But for those of you who have been watching Geico commercials on any given day, and you see a bunch of Geico commercials, one of the most popular and repeated Geico commercials has a song in it that is 30 years old this year and is on the exact same level in terms of quality as anything Bon Jovi's ever done. And Dan's trying to cue it up right now. He's trying to do like 10 different things. We're almost done, man. We're out of here in like 3 minutes. And I've got Dan, the hardest working producer in the world, here. Good job, Dan. Nice job. See, this is how you end the show. This is how you end a show.
I kid you not, we talked about it yesterday.
This song?
Because it used to be Noonan's Arcade Open. He used to play the Final Countdown as part of his overnight arcade.
That's what you do. Well, that's a Geico commercial, and that song celebrates its 30th anniversary. And you know what? Better than anything on Slippery With Wet. Slippery When Wet with Wet. See, I can't even say the name of the title of the song album thing. So, all right. I know that there are Jovi lovers out there who right now are just going, Nick, you're a jerk. Most of them are 50-year-old women. I'm not kidding. I'm a 50-year-old man, so I can say that.
They're all fuming.
They're all mad at me right now.
I'm one of them, Nick.
Oh, come on, Mary.
I love him.
No, wait a minute. No, okay.
I just think he's a good guy.
Okay.
I've been married a long time.
Wait, but music-wise.
But I'm talking about his music. I'm not arguing.
His music's okay. I like his music.
Okay. But would you put him on the same level as, you know, say, Dylan or Springsteen in terms of music?
Well, no.
So that's what I'm talking about. That's my point. Listen, I think he's a wonderful man.
But who cares? I mean, you can always. I mean, he's just very handsome and.
Okay, that goes
a
long
way. He's a good guy.
Apparently, that goes a long way. You stay married and you're handsome. You can
stay married.
You can record crappy music.
He's never done anything wrong. You know what I mean?
Isn't that.
I'm sure he has.
It's the best way to judge something. He didn't do anything wrong.
Well, nothing in the news anyway.
In the music industry, actually, that's probably the.
Well, seriously, think about it.
Musically,
this
though.
This is how far we've come as a society.
When it's like,
the guy's never killed anybody.
Well, he wasn't involved in a scandal of any sort that we know of.
He's never been in prison. He's great.
You know, date anyone in the band, did he?
I mean, I don't know. Who knows? Springsteen
like
did.
Springsteen
he broke up
did.
His marriage, actually.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I don't know.
But that doesn't make him better than Springsteen because he didn't sleep with somebody in his band.
Living on a prayer. You got to dance to it. Come on. You got to dance at a wedding.
See, there's no arguing the blind female Bon Jovi. No, they're not blind. The problem is they have vision. That's the problem.
You can't argue. I mean, he's cute. Some of his music's good.
He's never been to jail. All right,
he's
cool.
Never been to jail.
I love Bon Jovi.
I rest my case.
Okay, good job, Mary. From now on, instead of Karen Conti, they should talk to you, Mary.
No, she's taking me to court because I'm eating chocolate.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we'll hear more about that later on the Steve Cochran Show. The opening bell is next to the WGN.